Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
R&B money. We up. Tank. Jay Valentine. We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things. R&B. All things, Jay.
All things.
We get into the crevices, into the nitty gritty.
Into the business.
Into the business. Sometimes you got to get into the business. Y'all just want to sing. You just want to dance around. Take your shirt off. Pour water on yourself. You don't know about the business.
Talking to yourself. That's cool.
I didn't know the business. Okay. Now we got a man here that knows the business. Executive, manager, amongst other things we're going to get into. Give it up for our brother. Questionable basketball game. Get into that. Layup package is okay.
Greenville in the building.
He's just taller than me. That's the only way. That's the only way he's better than me. Give it up for our guy, Eve, in the building. Yeah.
Thank y'all, man. Thanks for having me.
Come on, super man. Dope. Thanks
Thank
for coming,
you, man.
Brother.
Of course, man.
Thank you for bringing us the business.
Yeah. Nah, I'm here, man. I've always rocked with y'all, like, ever since we came into this game, y'all always showed love, so I'm here, man. Like, you know, whatever y'all need from me.
Jay hit me, was like, we got Eve in town. I said, oh, yeah. Because we got to talk about, you know, the driving force, the undercurrent behind the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, because people are always, you know, throwing out statements based on kind of emotion in a sense, and what they feel about where music is or how music is, and they don't understand the inner workings of how music even gets there.
What goes into it.
You know what I mean? And those starting points, and you've been very crucial in starting and breaking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which is hard to do.
Yeah, for sure.
Super difficult to do.
Yeah.
So we, as your brothers, we are here to ask the questions and even shoot, learn something.
Yeah, nah, and salute that. You.
Yeah, yeah, so salute you. Yeah, y'all. For all the hard work.
Appreciate y'all for sure. I mean, yeah, you. I mean, you've seen it. You've seen it, like, especially the amount of times the game has changed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, with technology. So it's like having to learn new ways every time to try to, like, really give the artist the best chance possible to get in front of people. Because at the end of the day, a lot of times it's out of our control, right? You could do everything. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. A lot of times, too, it's like, you know, I always say it starts and ends with the artist. We just kind of try to help and, like, get it to the right place and just get the most out of it. But, yeah, the way music has changed since we came in and since y'all came in, it's like you got to adapt every time. So it's definitely – it gets tougher and tougher as you go. But, you know, it's, when you love something, you're going to figure it out. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Well, let's
Absolutely.
Do this. We like the origin.
Yep.
We like to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what is your origin into this space? Where did it start for you?
Man, I never thought I would, like, work in the music industry. Like, it wasn't a plan.
Mm-hmm.
My parents are from Sudan. So, like, I was born in France. You know, like, my dad, he worked for the UN. So, we moved around a lot as kids. So, by the time.
I love France. I just want to throw that out
there. You said what?
I love France.
Yeah, me too. I was going to Paris.
I've never been.
You know what I mean?
No.
Bro, you got to go to Paris, bro. You would love that shit.
I'm going to go. I took French in high school.
I tell him every year.
I took French in high school.
I said, you would enjoy yourself in Paris.
Come on, you Jay Valentine. Valentine is so French.
I got kicked out of French class so much in high school, bro. That once I became an adult, I was like, man, fuck that.
Nah, but going as an adult.
I don't like French fries.
Go to Paris, bro. You would enjoy it. Just seeing, like, the lifestyle and stuff.
Nah, I want to go. I definitely want to go.
But so we moved around a lot as kids. And I moved to Queens when I was, like, 10. And for me.
From France to Queens.
Well, first I went from, just to go back, we lived in France, in Paris. Then we moved to Qatar for a few years. My dad was stationed there, like, running the UNESCO office there. Then we came back to France for a couple years, then moved to Queens. So you could imagine for me, like, the good thing is all them years I was taking English and I was going to, like, English-speaking schools.
Yeah, so Pops was preparing you.
Yeah, well, Pops was kind of like, he was running UNESCO, so he was kind of moving where, you know, it's like, yo, you could go run that office over there and be the director, whatever. So when he came to New York, I remember not wanting to go. Because, you know, at this point, like, you like 9, 10, you got your friends.
You tucked in, right.
I'm like, fuck, I want to go to New York for, like, and then, but I think coming through at that age was ill because you get thrown into the belly of the beast. I had to adjust quick. It's like, okay. These niggas don't give a fuck who I am
really
or where I'm from.
Coming to America.
For sure.
Fuck you too.
In Queens. Like, literally.
You went to Queens.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're
for sure. Great.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but
from
you know.
Now on, he's Prince of Kings. Go ahead, finish.
But yeah, but the things that I guess helped me adapt was because I played sports. So I played ball.
Yeah.
And it's like, even though the language barrier was there, you get on that court, it's over. Like,
right.
Oh, you either nice or you not.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I got the boy from out.
Yeah, exactly. Nigga, whatever it was, I got that guy. Whatever they wanted to call me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I quickly learned how to play, like, football on the yard because I played soccer growing up.
Yeah.
I didn't understand football. I played basketball mainly, but then I watched the game quick. I'm like, all right, that's how y'all do it. Like, it's pretty easy. You know, I was always into sports, so I think that helped, like, bridge that you know, kind of fix that language
and it
barrier.
Helps you make friends.
That's really what
you know
it
what
did.
I mean?
Yeah,
that's very important in entertainment. I me and Tank talk about it all the time about how many guys in this business haven't played a team sport.
Yeah,
yeah.
You said something super dope in your Breakfast Club interview. I don't know if you remember. I hit you.
Yeah.
And also,
mm-hmm, you hear me about that.
You know what I mean? Because also, I'm one of five kids.
Right.
So, like, but finish your point.
Yeah,
about.
But just being able to share. Being
exactly.
Able, yeah, mm-hmm. and being of service at times. 100%. Absolutely.
On your
I
role.
Think
yeah.
we have that in an industry, entertainment period, where it's like, you know, guys are really talented, but they're very much to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know how to build with each other, share with each other. And like you said, you came from a whole nother country, but the sport in itself, I'm sure, brought you friends.
For sure, 100%.
It made you more comfortable,
everything in your life. Like, so. And also, I think to that point is, I think there's a lot of people in the music industry that haven't necessarily like lived before they got in the industry. There is that. Like they first experience of like
this their first doing time jumping anything, off the porch.
Being yeah, out.
They didn't have no hoes.
They didn't have no hoes. Hey man, get you some hoes.
They didn't have no hoes.
They weren't out running around with like you know what I mean? Like yeah. with their niggas and just doing whatever. So it's like that's another point. But yeah, I think another big thing was I was one of five. I had an older sister, two older brothers, and my younger brother who's boss, who's signed to us. But my older sister and my two older brothers, that's why I picked up the music from. You know what I mean? Like, wow. My brother, DJ Moma, who's a huge DJ, you know, he does the Everyday People Party, that says shit. Like, he was a rapper first and then turned into a DJ. Like, and he would literally, ever since I was young, would go and buy every album that came out on Tuesday that was, like, rap or R&B. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that taught me a lot. I was, like, a huge, huge Jodeci fan. That was, like, the first thing I was like a fanatic over, yeah, you know what I mean? And I feel be. Like
that in itself yeah, makes it, that's it. Perfect yeah. that you're here.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I feel like I fell in love with R&B like first, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because as a kid, like love, those emotions, those are like the first things you probably relate to before you understand. Nas was the first like rap album I bought, which was it was mm-hmm. Ren. So at that time I think that was kind of building my you know, between sports and music, that's mm-hmm. how you make your friends. I remember going to school having It Was Ren, and one of my closest friends till this day, my boy Antoine, he's like, oh, let me borrow that. And he's like, who's Antoine? I don't know if y'all know him. He's a writer, he's an actor, but he works with JD a lot. Mm-hmm. But, and I remember him bringing it back to me, scratched up, me being all angry, like, because at that time, that CD's so important.
Right.
But you, what I realized is like the ability to, like, put someone on the music was so dope to me.
Yeah.
Like, yo, you don't know about this? Oh, let me put you on. Like, so those are like the two things I fell in love with young, which was music and obviously basketball and sports. And but it was no idea that I was gonna like work in music. It was just like
so
passion.
Obviously you were a lot younger, but how was the music for you before you came to America? Or do you remember even that time?
No,
like,
even
how
then
was
it was still the same because my brother was still going to buy those same CDs. Okay. No, he was just in love. I mean, even over there, they're in love with this culture. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, I remember my brother buying the, what do you call it? What was the comedy off Menace to Society?
You said the comedy?
Like, they did, like, the flip on Menace. What was it with the
oh,
Wayne Brothers?
Oh, Don't Be a Menace.
Yeah.
But I remember that don't soundtrack being here. Fire.
Yeah, they had like, the Joe record
they
on
had,
it.
Yeah. Yep, they had, like, yeah. a ill Wu-Tang record on it. They had a Jodeci record on it, if I remember correctly. So I remember as a kid, he would buy those, and I would just look in his, like, drawer. He had all the CDs stacked up, and I just, like, even then, that's what we were, you know, listening to. That we was watching NBA games. You know, my brothers were like at 3 a.m. at that time. So it's like, it wasn't too different. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, I remember growing up listening to French music. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't remember that. Like, so it was still like a love of the culture even before I got here.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like somebody just flat out being like, yeah, you never heard of.
Nah.
You had already knew all the rappers and the exactly. R&B artists and everybody. So that,
I had a different idea of them. You know what I mean?
Because you had a different idea of them?
Because when you're a kid, I remember when I was a kid, I always tell my friends this. I used to think, like, when I get to America, like, if I seen Ice Cube in the street, he was just going to beat my ass. You know what I mean?
You know what I mean? It's like that Boondocks.
I was like,
I thought Ice Cube was going to kill my whole family.
I thought Ice Cube was murdering people
for no reason,
every
right?
weekend.
That's what I thought. So
just
like,
for fun.
I'm like, damn, I'm about to go to America and run into this nigga.
I was sure.
This nigga about to beat my ass.
Ice Cube had it. He had the persona down to
No, he's one of the greatest storytellers of all time.
Of sure. all time.
For sure.
It was so visual.
That's how good it was. No. I believed it.
I couldn't listen to him. That's how good he was.
Yeah.
My parents were like, you can't listen to him. He's a thug. He's a goon. And I'd be sneaking on the box, channel, trying to watch NWA.
For me, it was such a trip because I realized that I'm thinking that these guys are the coldest gangsters and criminals of all time, and I'm literally living in a house with them.
And then you know
what
I mean?
Like, my family is what. But you don't realize that as a kid, course, you're just like, man, y'all crazy, but y'all ain't Ice Cube.
You ain't Ice Cube.
Then you get older and realize, like, oh, y'all was the crazy
one. You sure ain't Ice Cube.
Can't nobody in my family do Are We There Yet.
Yeah. I remember playing basketball against Ice Cube.
Oh, the E-League, yeah.
The E-League.
Yeah.
Man, he was so nice.
Cool dude, yeah.
Like, he was like the nicest. Like, he was like, hey, Tank, man, like, you know, I like your style. That's it.
I mean, you also got to think.
Ice Cube.
You don't want to fight me?
That's probably one of the greatest story in, like, history of music. Yeah. To go from, like, that to this.
And it's an impossible story now.
Yeah.
You can't be Ice Cube. You can't just be a lyricist.
Well, 50's kind of doing it, though.
No. I mean, like, I'm talking about, like, the story. Of, like, someone who, now they follow your background.
Oh, yeah.
And you can attest to that because you're in that space heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, we all know how it goes, bro. Like, I've literally been introduced to certain artists by somebody telling me their crimes.
Yeah, that's real.
How deep they are into this or that and the other.
You're saying back then you only had the words.
All you had to do was rap. Yeah, you just had to be great at it.
Yeah, that's real. That's
because nobody was actually going to your actual block.
To do the research.
To do the research of how much work you've put in the streets and what you survived in the streets.
Nah, sure. Real.
For sure.
That's real.
It'd be little white dudes waiting outside of the jail for the artist to come out.
It's crazy, bro.
I see you looked away because you know exactly what I'm talking about.
For sure.
You know what I mean? And listen, this is...
It's actually a problem. You know what I mean? It's a big problem. But.
Listen.
But you know what happened, though, is that reality took over, right? And I say that whether it be reality TV or whatever it is, whether it be social media, people wanted to know what they were really buying into.
Yeah.
They wanted to get past the music and see the essence of an individual.
Yeah.
That's what reality, this reality thing turned into. So when you start rapping about a thing, a murder or whatever it is,
doing that.
They want to know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, the song is cool. Tell me about the murder, though.
Yeah, right. I want that information.
And that's going to help you sell your records.
Yeah.
It's tricky.
It's tricky.
It's so tricky, man. How do you deal with that? In your space of you know what you sign, because you guys have been able to carve out a space and time. Like right now, where hip hop is very violent, and that's not what y'all are based on, and that's not what y'all are built on.
Yeah,
and you've been able to bring forth really powerful acts in a time where this does not really truly exist.
Yeah,
talented.
Well, you can be talented.
They get to be talented.
I think what it is like, I know it sounds a little crazy, but like, I never actually got into this for like monetary reasons. Like, of course, I wanted to make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that was never like my thing. I didn't even understand the business of music at first. So, like, even like growing up, even the way I met Cole, it was like, it was literally like, I knew Cole, like, that's my dog from school.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we going out, we going to homecomings, we doing whatever. But then I find out he raps. And then it becomes like, oh, you actually, like, are really incredible. Let me just, it became the same thing, giving a CD away to my friend. It became trying to put people on to shit I actually like. So when you get in a position of, like, having a label, it's kind of the same thing. And you know, with me and Cole and our partner Adam, we just looked at it like, yo, we're only really gonna sign things we're really fans of that connect with us. Because I always tell artists, like, I'll meet artists outside of a show, like, yo, can I rap for you? And I'll be like, look, you can have the best, you can put words together better than anyone else. Like, if it don't connect with me, like, there's nothing I can do about it. And I'm not gonna get that connection necessarily from you spitting 16. Like, a lot of times, you never know when that connection is going to come. So so what it was is we had this platform, and it was like, if something connected with us, it was like, yo, let's try to give it its best chance to see if it's going to connect with everyone else. Because we can proudly stand behind it. Like, you know, we can say like, yo, we're fans of this, and we feel like you should too if you like what we like, you know what I mean? So it wasn't like that deeply thought of, you know what I mean? Like, like Boss is my brother. Boss was the first person we actually signed to Dreamville. And even that, I feel like, made it tough on him in a sense, because I was like, well, I'm not going to sign my brother first. Like, because he wasn't rapping. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. He wasn't really a rapper. Like, he had some shit go down in the streets. He was like, all right, I got to back out. He was always a smart kid, started putting words together. And I remember him sending me and Colson. We was like, oh, this nigga nice. If he keeps going at it, if he gets better, he might turn it to. And we watched him get better and better. Then it was like, all right, this is a good representation of who we are. Like, he's coming from, you know, he's like-minded people is what I always say. Like, we sign a lot of like-minded people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like, if I'm a fan of it and I feel like, damn, it hits me, it connects with me, let me try to give you a platform that hopefully is going to connect with other people and that can lead you to, you know, stardom. You know what I mean? And really more important than stardom to me was always having a career.
Yeah.
Like, I want to make sure you can make a living off of this. You know, for as long as you want to, like, so
you're not going to sign Little Death Murder Kill.
But guess what? Like, I can listen to Kodak Black and be like, I can listen to Kodak
Why
Black.
Why you put Kodak Black?
No, because Kodak Black.
I work out to that.
Kodak Black is one of my favorite rappers.
Mine too.
And you know why? It's because it's honesty.
Yes.
It's a real portrayal of his life. Mm-hmm. So my thing is not that you can't be in street shit. It's the rappers that like glorify it, that don't really live that life. I can't connect with that. Right. I could connect with Kodak because he's telling you the goods and the bads
of it.
He's telling you, I don't want to do this. Like, but I have to do this because this is a product. I could connect with the feeling of that. Even though I don't go through that, there's an emotion there that's like, okay, not to say I would sign a Kodak. I'm just saying, like, to me, anything that comes from a real place that's authentic,
you can respect it.
I can respect it, whether it's my life or not.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of what we want, is just to be able to give authentic voices a platform. Yeah.
And I know we jumped a little bit, but can you give us like the start?
Yeah, for sure.
St. John's.
Yeah.
You and Cole. Basketball. You know what I mean? Whereas, you know, and
another,
you meeting Jermaine Cole, not J. Cole, you know what I'm saying? Like, and y'all building what y'all have built with Dreamville.
Yeah, I mean, that, again, basketball, like you said, like, I've seen Cole around school, but.
So y'all didn't know each other before St. John's?
No.
Because obviously he's from Carolina.
He's from Carolina, I'm from Queens. St. John's is like 10 blocks from my crib.
Right.
So I wasn't even going to go to St. John's. I was like taking visits to like D2s and shit, like thinking about still hooping. I wanted to go to like Georgia State. And then it was like.
Basketball?
Yeah, and then it was like late.
He can play. I'm just jealous.
I like that.
I'm just think if you choose to go to Georgia State and you miss out on me.
No. And then, by the way, riding the bench probably.
I'm just mad that he's taller than me. I'm just mad at a lot of things. I'm just mad.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And when I got to St. John's, it's like I was a year older than Cole, so he came the next year. And even then, it's like I know him. I see him around.
Yeah.
But that's not like my man. And then we had this thing called Common Hour in my school, which was like, I think it was like around 12:30 or 12 to like 1:30 when on Tuesdays and Thursdays when no one had classes. So all the niggas that's like really hooping, that's not on the team, or maybe like the walk-ons on the team, they meet in the gym and we have open runs.
Okay.
So me and Cole, that was kind of like my rival because we were both tall guards. Like we was that was our game. I'm like, I don't fuck with this nigga. Like, this nigga ain't that nice.
You know what I mean? He think he meet.
It always starts there. Ain't that nice. It always starts there.
And then, but my best friend growing up, my man Tad, he really hooped too with me. Like we all grew up hooping like AAU and shit. And he would come to the gym, and like he got cool with Cole. And then eventually by like Cole's maybe like junior year or something, we started getting cool. Like we would go to the city.
So it took like 2 years.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I would see him.
At first you weren't fucking with him.
I would see him and I'd be like, yo, what up? Respect. You know what I mean? But at some point we started like linking, we would go to the city, you know, drink, party, just being homies.
Is Matt there with y'all too, Matt McNeil?
Matt's there.
He's there at that time.
Matt,
too.
I know him, but I don't know him as much. And I think Cole knew him more.
Okay.
And then I got cool with Matt too. You know what I mean?
Because
we called him Cali Matt. Cause he was like
coming all the way from
he was like
LA.
The only nigga from LA and California
to
out there.
To
you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's
and
wild.
He was really probably the first nigga I met that was like, I'm going to work in the music industry. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
Matt was thinking that then.
I think so from what I remember, because he was like plugged in with like, I think it was like Diddy and like Daddy's House, the engineer, Matt, I think was his name.
Okay.
Like, so he would have those relationships. He was thinking about it early. I was just like, yeah, you know, him and probably this dude, Aristotle, I remember. But yeah, with Cole, it was like, that was just a homie. And then one day I got in his car and he had like one of his freestyles over like Grammy Family playing. And I'm like, yo, who the fuck is that? I had heard him rap once at like a school talent show.
And oh, he was doing the talent shows in the
like,
whole shit.
Like, just like once. He was like a host, I think, because he was like the head of the Black Student Union or something. Like, you know, like.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense.
And by the way, like, the Black Student Union at our school was like lit. Like, it was like you wanted to be at that meeting. Like, they threw the best parties, the concert at the end of the year. And I think he was hosting one of them and he did a freestyle. And I remember being like, oh, that's a witty line. Like, this guy could rap. But I didn't think of it because I was just a fan of rap. But when I heard that, I was like, yo, who's this? He's like, oh, that's my, he's about to turn it off. I'm like, well, you like really rap. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's what I came out to New York for, but I'm not one of those niggas that's going to just tell niggas, oh, I rap. Like, that shit corny. Like, I'm going to get signed, and then niggas going to see. And I was like,
I'm the surprise rapper.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel that, but I don't know if it works like that. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, I don't know much about the business.
But I don't know if you can just show up with it.
But at some point, you're going to have to tell somebody that you fucking rap.
But even then, it wasn't like, all right, I'm going to manage you. We go.
Right.
None of that. It was more like, damn, like I really, as a fan of music, these words connect with me. I think that's one thing I understood from early on is like the emotional connection with music to me, which is always the most important thing, which is why I love R&B. Like you feel that connection. But then it was just more like back to like being a kid of going to your friends and being like, yo, check this out. And be like, who's this? Like, yo, that's Jermaine. Like, oh, light-skinned Jermaine? Damn, that nigga really rap. Like, it was a stripe to be able to put niggas on the shit. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I was doing. And I think as I was doing that, he just started trusting my ear. Because that's really our work relationship. Like, I'm his manager, but like, our work relationship is really, like, we spent years and years, like, putting projects together. Like, he would trust me to be like, yo, you remember that verse you had on that beat? Like, yo, you should try it on this beat. He'd be like, oh, good idea. Or like, that's kind of like where my love really came in. Is as the years grew and I was working with him, it kind of allowed me to gain my confidence on how to, like, you know, communicate with artists or producers on, like, how can this can be better? You know, without like,
stepping on toes.
Exactly. Without being like, this shit trash. Like, nigga, who are you to tell me this shit trash? For you don't make the music. Yeah. Like, so I understood that, and I think he trusted that, and he don't trust a lot of people. So we just kept going to the studio and building, and it was just fun. Like, it was mad fun. Like, just, he would make songs and send it to me, and I'd be like, damn, this is fire. Like, you know, he enjoyed getting that ear and that feedback. And then I was like, yo, we should do a mixtape. So we did, like, the Come Up mixtape. Just kind of put it together, like, you know, went to A&T and was selling it. And homecoming.
Oh, y'all went to North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay.
We pressed them up. Whatever little money we had together. Because at this point, too, like, he's now graduated, but he's dead broke because his roommates moved out. So he's staying in Queens, and he's like, he's damn near begging his landlord, like, yo, I'm going to pay you back. Like, his landlord is Muhammad, is the man. He laying money pile up. And during that time, Cole would literally have, like, he honestly just had money for one meal a day, and he used to time his meal for like 5 p.m. Because he like, that. So he would just sit home, make beats, whatever.
This is amazing.
And I would come home. My pops was still like holding me down with bread. I didn't really have a job, so I'll make sure he good. You know what I mean? We'll split a sandwich, keep it moving. So we would find money to press these CDs up. And his best friend, RJ, went to, he used to go to North Carolina A&T, then went to UNCG. So Cole went to North Carolina A&T homecoming every year. Like,
no matter what.
In North Carolina, that shit is,
that's where you go.
That's religion. Exactly. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I went with them 1 year and we had to come up, we pressed it up, and our whole thing was like, that was our sales pitch. It was like, yo, if I try to sell you this for $5, you're not gonna buy it. If I give it to you for free, you're just gonna throw it away. So just give me $1. At least I know if you give me $1, you're gonna listen to one song. That was kind of our whole Dollar in the Dream thing. That's how it started. Wow. So we was the strip trying to sell shit for $1. And girls would be like, and it was fun because it's like, you talking to girls, you talking to these niggas, like trying to convince them. Girls would be like, how do I know he can rap? I'm like, yo, come over here. Me, him, Mike, the same niggas, you know, we with now. He'd be like, he'll rap for you right now. He start rapping. He'd be like, oh, he nice. Here's $5. Like, it was fun. Like, yeah. We found fun in everything, even though niggas was broke and not knowing where it was going to end up.
But how old are you at this time? 20, 21?
22. I'm like, I'm probably like 22, 23. He's probably like 21, 22, around that age. Because he had just graduated. I didn't finish school, but I was already out of school. And I'm a year older than him. So it was around that age. You know, young enough where we could still go to homecoming and not look like the creeps. You know what I mean? Like, what's she, 26, 27, 28?
Who this 36-year-old
nigga? Hey, man, look at this still over here. So it was cool. And then, you know, we just kept going from there. That's kind of how the music relationship started. Even then, I didn't think I was going to, like, work in music. Because I had no... Everyone I know that's in the music industry had, like, an internship at a label or, like... You know, kind of came up under someone. Yeah. I was just like, I'm just here to help my nigga. Like, I just want to see you win.
So with you being from Queens, though, where it's rich in hip hop.
Yeah, for sure.
We can go down the list of how many amazing artists have come out of Queens. You knew none of these people, though.
No.
Not one.
Hell, Queens is big.
You didn't know nobody's manager, nobody's Queens, little brother.
I knew Irv Gotti.
You knew Irv Gotti, okay.
So remember I told you when I graduated high school, my high school team coming up was like, it was like the second best league in like America at that time. Okay. We were like towards the bottom of the league, but that was Rice, St. Raymond's, Christ the King. Yeah. You know, I played at Holy Cross. So like when I graduated, I went back and was like assistant coaching for the team. And our point guard who played with Blaze French, my dog, and Sylvan Landisberg, they the ones that like got us our first city chip. Our point guard was Irv Gotti's nephew. So they came to every game. Irv and Chris, they came to every game. So I would see them. I even gave, I think it was Chris Gotti that I gave a CD to of Cole's, like the come up when we was just trying.
Early on.
So like that's like the only thing I had seen. I had seen like growing up, when I was in high school, our star player, he's from Southside. So like Yayo, Banks, them niggas used to come to the game. And they would see me on the Ave and be like, oh, number 22 was good. Like it was just like I seen him from afar. But I didn't know. Yo, Queens is huge. You know what I mean? Like Queens, I remember seeing something like, if it was a city, would be the seventh most populated city in America. You know, like these Queens boroughs. These boroughs
are all
got
cities.
Like 2 million people in them. You know what I mean? So it's like where I'm from, it's like you knew people through basketball, but I didn't really know. Like I didn't know 50 in them. I didn't know Nas's team. You know what I mean? Nas is in Queensbridge. That shit is so far from where I'm at. You know what I mean? It's like a different world, damn near. So no, I didn't know anyone. The closest I would see was maybe like Stack Bundles and like the Desert Storm dudes, because I grew up like really loving that era of music. But I didn't know nobody. You know what I mean?
Wow. So you have no, at this point, like you said, you have no sights on being in the music business.
No.
Even though you out there, it's just you and your guys slanging mixtapes, you're still not like, I'm on a label, I'm about to be.
Nah. What it was just like, it's what you was talking about when I was saying I connected with that. It's like, I just want to see him win. I understood, like, how can I help you get to where you're supposed to get? And I found joy in that. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't care. I knew that if I did those things, like, I would be rewarded somehow. You know what I mean? Like, like I would be taken care of if I really put my thoughts into something that, you know, like, that's like, it's not selfish. Like, you know what I mean? For me, it was like, yo, I see what you're trying to get. If I can help, I'm going to try to help. That was like the basis of it. Like, if I can help, I'm going
to
try to help.
But you didn't have a blueprint. You didn't have a way in.
No.
Yeah.
Nobody knew where to go. We just knew we're going to sell these things for a dollar.
Exactly.
And see what happens.
The dollar and a dream.
And then eventually, Cole was like, I think it was Cole that would be like, yo, we going to do a label, like, once we get on. You know what I mean? Because at that point, it's like, we grew up, you know, Rockefeller, Bad Boy. So we think, like, that's just what you do, nigga.
What you do.
You get on and you start a label. Yeah. Like,
are you feeling any of the African pressure? You gotta go be a doctor,
man,
a lawyer.
You know what? I always give my dad.
There is that.
There's that. Like, my best friend is Ethiopian, no, so you know what I mean? Like,
that's real as fuck.
I know how that go.
I always give my dad and my mom a lot of props because they never really forced like those ways. Like, they will be disappointed. Like, yo, what are you doing with your life? But like, I'm gonna trust you. but I don't really know if this gonna work. But I'm gonna trust you. It was never like you have to do this. Like you have to. Of course, I'm sure they was disappointed when I didn't finish school. You know what I mean? Or like when I tell them like I'm gonna be doing this. But they also knew Cole. Cole used to be in my crib, so they know like all right, this is a good kid. It's not like some dumb shit. But it's funny because I remember we were at the Garden one year and Boss was opening up. It was either the Garden Theater or the actual arena. And my dad was like, he came to the show and he told Boss manager they grew up with, was like, guess y'all was right. Like, he waited until he got to the Garden and was like, y'all was right.
Dope.
But it was never the feeling of like, you have to do it. It was kind of like, I don't think you should be doing what you're doing.
Right.
But like, you're going to have to pick your own destiny kind of thing. And I think that gave me enough of a leeway to be like, you know what, let me try this out.
Go after it.
But that pressure is definitely there.
Did you have that? Because, you know, my father wanted me in music very, very early.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you started early.
It wasn't like, oh, if I do music, y'all think I'm crazy. Like, did that happen for you too?
My pressure was church.
You from like a church family?
I'm from church. So my pressure was just whatever I do to be in church. You know what I'm saying?
You do whatever you want to.
You do whatever you want to.
Come back to this church.
But I see you on Sunday. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And so, you know, venturing out into R&B land, you know, even going back and like say in the sports world, like my parents, I'm first generation everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So my parents were just very like, you know, oh, you playing basketball? Okay, good luck with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You playing football? Cool. Good luck with that.
Yeah,
everything was good. Everything was good luck.
Yeah, like my parents didn't come to my basketball.
No, I think my parents came.
My dad
to maybe
came
like
to senior
two
night.
Or three games.
Senior night where you gotta like show up.
Yeah, I was
with your parents. My parents didn't come.
No,
they didn't know what the vibe. Like,
no.
It's not like you said. That's not their culture.
It's not where they're from.
It's not where they're from.
I broke my collarbone the day I broke my collarbone in football. My father was at that game, right? So, father comes out to the field. He said, you think it's broke? I said, I don't know, Dad. Probably. Let's get you onto the hospital.
Like, very matter of fact. Like, that's what it is.
Right.
Like, yo, what else you want me to tell you? Like, right. I ain't going to fix it. I ain't going
to. So, you know, when it came to the music and things finally happened, it's like what you said with your father. Like, I think with my father, we connected more when I accepted my responsibility of myself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When I became a man, then my father was like, okay, now we can have real conversations because you're a man now.
Yeah, that's real.
You know what I'm saying? And then it's like.
Oh, you come from the household of grown men don't talk to kids.
No.
Right.
Yeah, and that's how I came up. I was having this conversation actually with Cole because Cole got to a space where he was like, basically like, he got to a point at one point in his life where he just wanted to ask questions. He started really like diving into asking his mom question and his dad question and why they say, you know, trying to get an understanding of everything. And I remember being like, I've never really asked my dad any questions. To me, it was like, you're my dad. I love you. You take care of the kids. I respect you. But it's like, we're not friends where like, I can have that conversation. Right. Like, how was it back when you was growing up? Like, I don't know any of that.
Me and my father would sit on the same couch. For a whole Saturday.
Exactly. There's no kind
and
of...
And I say two words.
Now that I got kids, it's different. Right. Now that I got kids.
But it's just like, our fathers were iron men.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there was an actual kid's table.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I might put a kid's table at my house.
There was a kid's, like, kids
now that you say that?
Over there.
I might have to do a kid's table at the
house. I got a kid's table at the house, but they always end up eating. It's like a small, like, you know, like, they still three. They're like four. Yeah,
they're fake
one. Four and two. It's like, just so they learn. But
kids and, like, the adults, you wasn't an adult conversation. You wasn't. But, like I said, again, with us being first generation everything, once I finally became a man, then it became, okay, now we can build and now I can 100%. Ask you questions. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like, I remember one time my father was like, so how's your publishing treating you? I said, Dad, that's not.
Your publishings?
Publishings.
Yeah.
Like, how's your publishing treating you? They talk to you, tell you anything?
Your publishers.
Dad, that's not.
Wait, that's not how it works.
That's not
how.
But
I appreciate you asking,
yeah.
That's real.
Let me just mixing publicists.
Oh, publicists, yeah.
Publishing.
He just heard the word. Just heard the word. Like, yeah. And so, that's a good word to use.
Great, bro. And then my grandmother being a pastor, you know what I'm saying? You know, you expect certain blowback, but my grandmother was just like, that's my grandson. You know what I mean? I'm so proud. My mama, same thing. She's like, I see you, boy. I see you doing your thing. They didn't know what it was.
What it was. Yeah.
They just showed up on the video set of stuff blowing up.
So they never got a chance to see you with Genuine.
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah, they got to see, because I remember
we was on,
We was on TV. We did the Keenan Ivory Wayans show. And that's the famous time where I licked my lips when they put the camera on me. It was trash, right? I was still working on it. But the camera caught me. And when I got back off tour and went back to church, that's all people was talking about. We saw you licking your lips.
Yeah. Church was going.
Pastor was like, we got Darrell back. He's back from off the TV screen. Being provocative. Amen. He's back.
Amen.
In my mind, I'm thinking of like the first time they seen that maybe I Deserve video on 106. They was probably like, yo, what the fuck? Because that was such a big moment. You know what I mean? Everyone remembers that moment. So I'm pretty sure it's kind of like, oh, this church nigga over here with no shirt on and shit. Like,
it was.
You know what I mean? That shit had to be different.
It was different.
Yeah.
It was. But like I said, from your family having a certain expectation.
Yep.
And my family having a certain expectation, they were very lenient. Yep. With how they oppressed it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like direct support of what I was doing.
But they weren't fighting you.
But they weren't fighting me on it.
Yeah.
They weren't in the way.
But when you get older, you realize how important that is.
For sure.
If somebody fights you on it, shit probably doesn't even happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure. For sure.
So yeah, that's a good ass question, because real.
Because it's just everybody has their path and how it plays out. And which leads to my next question, man. Like, and this is something that's, I think it's the reason why you and I have always been so cool and so close and have an understanding with each other. Because I know you face this.
Mm-hmm.
Best friend management.
That's just tough.
I
would never trade it for anything.
No, not at all.
But coming up, you understand, it's like, it's a different.
We're gonna act like you're not here right now.
It's a different.
Even though you are my manager now, so you about to experience best friend management. Go ahead.
Nah, it's a different. It really, best friend management wasn't as hard as like running a company with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little harder. But with Cole, I think when I got to that management, because I didn't really get like became officially manager till before Forest Hills Drive.
Okay.
You know, he was managed by Mark Pitts and Wayne Bell.
Yeah,
But I think what having that relationship with Cole and being so close allowed him to give me room for error, which somebody else might not. You know what I mean? Like, it allowed me to learn on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get a call from him like, hey, nigga, you can't do this. Or like, hey, nigga, you need to answer these people.
Yeah,
I don't want them hearing me. Yeah. All right, cool. Let me adjust. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Somebody else might have been like, hey, bro, I ain't got time for this shit. You out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was honestly just having that conversation with Ari about something. Like, yo, if Cole decided to fire me the first time he didn't like something, then I would have been out the game.
Yeah.
When the reality is, I always look at it like, you know, with managers, I really look at it with any relationship in life. It's like, ain't nobody perfect. So if somebody has a lot of good traits and they have some traits you don't like, just be willing to work through that instead of being like, oh, I don't like how you do this. You're gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like having that relationship with Cole allowed us to like, allow me to be able to grow. You know what I mean? And then also allow me to be able to say things to him that maybe somebody else wouldn't be able to say. You know what I mean? So it was like, it's tough because you're in a position where you don't want to let your client down, but you also don't want to let your nigga down.
Yeah.
That's a different that's a different perspective. But to me, it's definitely way more pluses than negative. Now, running a company with your friends is a little tougher because it's tougher to, you know, like when I say run a company with your friends, it wasn't just Cole. Like Adam was Cole's roommate his freshman year. You know, Derek, who manages Boss, I've known since he was a kid in high school. Felton was one of the first people we met in the industry. Maddie, and you know, who him and MK manage Ari. Maddie, I knew since he was like 14. You know, MK we met because she was like interning at with Mark Pitts and him when we first. So like, that dynamic is a little tougher because you really love these people. So you don't want to do anything that can, you know, hurt their family.
But it's also accountability.
For sure.
Because of those relationships, right? Because in our community, which is terrible, we're taught to go outside of ourselves to get where we got to go.
Ultimately
is self-defeating.
Yeah.
Because the truth of the matter is that if we do this thing together, we're that much more powerful.
For sure.
And we're going to hold each other down. It's something that you said earlier about how you were like, man, when Cole was trying to figure out and he was eating one meal a day, that you would make sure if y'all got to split a sandwich, me and him talk about this all the time. Like, we jokingly, we're like, bro, we would split a Happy Meal.
Yeah.
If we had to. If I, hey, bro, come on, I'm going to give you these six fries. I'm going
to
take these.
We used to want to, first of all, a big part of me and Cole's relationship was we both loved to, like, go to the club. Like, that's really how we bonded. We used to, like, the New York clubs, we used to go for the free before 12, and you get, like, one drink before 12. And then if we have enough money, we'll buy one Long Island iced tea because we knew it was a strong and split. Go ahead. Like, but you know you got to split low key. You can't let people see niggas.
Both of y'all can't be like this.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, man, do your thing.
Do your thing, my nigga. But like, you know, that's like, it was always, that's the one thing that obviously y'all have that when you're working with someone that close to you, you're going to figure it out. You're going to be willing to figure that shit out. And that's what it was. But it's like, we're going to figure it out because it means more than dollars and cents. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, bro, like, this shit means a lot more to us. So I think that's the beauty of it. Like, you really, I mean, it's definitely way more pluses than anything. Because I feel like you're willing to run through a wall for someone like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, somebody else, you might be like, nigga, I'm cool, good. Like,
well, I mean, yeah. And that's, because it's like the intent of a human, right? Mm-hmm. When it pertains to somebody you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can bet on that. Mm-hmm. More than you can bet on anything. Like,
nah, that's real.
I know this guy.
For sure.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. I know him.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we know our friends that are bullshitters. You know what I'm saying? That we're like, okay, all right, just make him the janitor. Make him, we know where to put those guys that are bullshit. Yeah. But our friends that we know are hard workers. You know what I'm saying? And smart people and just need the time to figure it out.
I've had this conversation with so many artists. Cole's the only artist I've ever managed and that I plan on ever managing. Like, all the artists I've signed, I've, like, played whatever role I can. It's like de facto manager if they need me.
I turn down artists every day. I can't do it.
See, it's because to me, like, managing is also like, you got to be really dedicated. You know what I mean? Sure. And it's like, how can you dedicate yourself to nine different acts? Like, I don't understand it. Yeah. I don't know if I can do it. But I've had this conversation with artists that were on and artists that are starting. I'm like, yo, if there's someone on your team that you feel like even has something that they work hard and they're willing to figure it out, you better off empowering them than looking for that manager. Because to me, it's like, I've seen it a million times. Like, yo, I'm managed by blah, blah, blah's management company. And then it's like, nah, you managed by a nigga that worked there.
Right.
But that nigga don't give a fuck. That nigga's like,
that nigga playing the numbers.
You know what I mean? Like, he's on
the golf course, actually.
Exactly. He's on the golf course.
He's on the golf course.
Who? Yeah.
We manage him?
Yeah, call Mike about that.
Since when?
Yeah, exactly.
When does he get out?
I don't think we should do it.
I'll show up when he's getting out of jail with his paperwork.
Yeah, I don't think we should do it, but yeah, call Jeff. We gotta go.
It's always a Jeff.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, It's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you partaking or undertaking any more R&B endeavors?
You know, I don't even really know. I can't sit here and be like, I know what the future of our label holds. Because if I'm going to be honest, I don't actually even want to sign any more artists. Like, I feel like I want to dedicate what I can to these artists to get them as far as they could or as far as they want to. But, you know, to take on more is just taking away from them. You know what I mean? And I feel like as a team, it's like we already got a lot of artists. You know what I mean? It's like
you don't want to spread yourself too thin.
Yeah, it's unfair to not only the artist, but it's unfair to our staff to just have to. So to me, it's like I haven't even thought of any more artists. I know Cole's the same. It's just more so like just putting these artists in a position, because also like we really treat everybody that's come through our doors like family, and it's been it's but so much love that's you tough. Can give to that's, like you know what I mean. It's tough to like really just and I truly genuinely love everyone on our label. Like I want to see them win so much that I'm like I don't know if adding more to that is fair. You know what I mean? So
gotcha.
That's just the reality of it.
All right. Well, we're gonna
respect that.
Get into your R&B mind.
But I do love working on R&B. Like you know, Cole. I think Cole specifically, I always tell him his next phase of his career is really producing and getting in with artists. He loves that. Like he's gotten in with LMA. He's gotten in with, you know, just he loves that space. Mm-hmm. Him watching him work with Ari, I see like, damn, this is like you really love this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like on the intro of her album, like he wrote that with her, and like you know, even just the conversation he's had with her throughout her career. So I know that's something that is fun to us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like work wise, being able to get in with artists and kind of like craft, like yo, this you know, like this would sound dope or whatever. So I do think there's always gonna be something there. I just don't know what yet. You know what I mean?
Okay.
No, definitely.
Okay. As we were going there, we're going to go to your R&B mind. Okay, I hope you...
Ooh. Yeah, yeah, come on. Come on, singing Josie for the family.
Shift all the way into R&B.
I might need a little more
tequila. Yeah.
What's this tequila? I might need a little more.
You need a little more? Listen.
Well, we're not going to shout their name out.
We're not going to give them.
You know. Yeah, they got to send that check before we start saying their names.
It's really good, though. I'm not going to say our name, but... If y'all want to know, hit up Tank. He put me on.
Don't hurt nobody. Nobody will hurt you. Give me a chip, too, before we really explore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you
switching out?
Mm-hmm.
We good now?
Okay. Mm-hmm. 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 Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's get in. It's going to be exciting.
Eat chips and shit. On the pod, per Ruben.
Exciting.
Per Ruben.
But I'm eating chips. Mm-hmm. And you're going to edit it. Ebe.
Yes.
I want to know. I already know one. But I want to know your top five R&B artists of all time. Awesome. Male or female.
All right. Well, Jodeci. Gotta be up there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I grew up a huge Jodeci fan, so we got to put that up there. I would. Usher.
Usher, yes. That's Jodeci, great. Usher.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, man, mm-hmm. Confessions.
Yeah.
You put that up against any album, any genre, and of any time.
All time.
You know what I mean? I think Confessions and Miseducation is like two of the best albums in any genre.
I was just listening to that the other day.
Yeah. Erykah
Badu.
I love Erykah.
I love you too, Erykah. How could you not?
That's some extra sauce on.
How could you not?
Listen, I respect it.
We all love Erykah.
I respect it. Yours was different, though.
Erykah.
Love Erykah.
We're going to leave some people out because they done, you know.
No, we don't love it. Not on the R&B Money Podcast. If you would like to, that's on you.
Nah,
we don't leave nobody out on the R&B Money Podcast.
They done did too many wild shit. We can't even, revisit.
That's not true. We're talking about music.
We're talking about music, brother.
Yeah.
You can't erase your influence.
Yeah. Y'all set me up. I'm going to get, y'all know what I'm talking about.
I promise you it's not a setup.
I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But y'all know. Niggas just incredible. They just terrible people. And we just going to leave it at that.
Who was that? Look at that. You want me to say it?
You can say if you
Robert.
if he was just a good nigga, he would be top.
Is that number four?
Nah, I can't put him number four. I gotta erase him out of the history books for
box.
Now. Nah, I mean,
it's tough.
Maybe on my own time I listen to him. You know? Nah.
I get it. It's your five.
Your five.
Nah, it's my
your
five. Damn, five. It's just so many good ones. I think just like as far as music, like songs that I'm gonna love forever, I'm gonna throw Aaliyah in there. Cause some of her songs is gonna, you know, it's like it's where you at in your life when you first heard them. You know what I mean? I don't wanna count anybody that's like, I'm only counting people I grew up on. I don't wanna count like the newer people because I feel like there's like a whole list of people, but who's last? Who am I missing? I feel like, I mean, I was honestly huge. I'm going to put Alicia in there because them first, like, them first two albums when I was growing up, like, man, I spun the fuck out of them shit. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? I feel like that's a strong five.
That's very a strong five. Very strong. I remember I was on a show early with Alicia in Sacramento. And I came out and I'm doing my whole singing thing and I got my bandana on, and, you know, my leather suit, leather outfit, whatever. It's going. And I'm just trying to dazzle them with all of my newfound sex appeal. You know, that's what I was on. Shirt off, tank chain, just so they know my name to make sure.
Yeah, because if
your name got to be in the chain, right?
You got to. Just in case you ain't know.
Just in case you ain't know, like it's right here. And that's what I'm trying to dazzle them with. It was Jimmy Cozier, me.
Sometimes I love her. Yeah. Oh, J Records show.
Alicia Keys comes up there and starts singing and playing the piano. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can do that.
Right. Why didn't I think of that?
And she was up there killing. And I was like, "This, we gotta rearrange this, man, because she's." And I never changed it.
You know what it was with Alicia? It was like being, because I was in high school around that time. It felt like, and I'm from New York, so it felt like that. That little like street edge that she had along with like the beautiful chords and
she made the piano feel like a DJ rig.
Yeah, it was insane.
It didn't look like she was like when I play the piano, I'm like playing the piano.
Playing
you know what I'm saying? Like I've learned from, you know, Brian McKnight and Babyface and, you know, I'm a church musician. But when she playing it, she was in here with it. Oh, she had a bop to it and like just her lean and everything. I was like this. That's mine. Don't come off like that.
Yeah,
hers was very hip hop.
Oh, you know who I did forget though that I do want to mention is T-Pain.
Not mad at that. Listen,
is one of my favorites.
No one will ever get an argue with me.
He's a monster.
He's
out of me about
it was just
T-Pain.
Like, and it's just introduced a new style of R&B to people. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate people that's like, well, I'm just gonna do it my way. Like he, and then later you found out that he was actually vocally strong. Like we
actually
didn't know
vocally
in the beginning.
Capable.
No. You know, we didn't know in the beginning.
He can actually. Yeah,
well, you mean.
I mean,
when I used to try to do the auto-tune heavy, I was like, why don't I sound like T-Pain? You know what I'm saying? I didn't sound like him. You know what I'm saying? The texture and his tone and all of that made
it helps
all of the difference.
And he was also another one to the point we were talking about with Drake, but in a different way. Like, he was writing from a place of like, we're not supposed to... It used to be uncool to say, like, I'm in love with a stripper.
With a stripper.
He made shit that
I was the bartender.
He made it fun, though. He didn't put too much on it. Like,
exactly.
Don't be embarrassed.
Exactly.
We all love
and
the strippers.
And to me, I love that, so I do want to put him up there, too.
Shout out to T-Pain.
Respect that.
Top five R&B songs.
Ooh, that's going to be hard.
Yeah, take your time.
That's going to be hard. Maybe I'll just go by, like, the artist that I already love.
You can do that.
It's a cheat code, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Because you know what?
Nah, I get it.
Because it's hard to name five. Because like I would want to throw. I'm gonna give it a shot. Carl Thomas, I Wish.
Woo!
Come on, man.
Is up there.
Can't go wrong with that.
That's just
can't go wrong with it.
That's just an incredible song.
Absolutely.
I don't know if this is like a top five favorite of all time, but an R&B song I've been listening to a lot lately is Avant and Kiki White, First Love.
First Love? Me and my sisters literally have sing-offs every family reunion, every
event. That's like one of my favorite joints.
The whole house, you split it up. Y'all sing Kiki's part. I'ma sing his part. Like,
I've been on that heavy like the last year. Just like,
oh my God.
So I got to put that up there.
I was so mad when that record came out. Yeah. I'm still a little bit of a hater.
Yeah. I want to hear this.
Y'all was playing the same. Y'all was both trying to get on the team.
I'm trying to get in. I'm just trying to, you know, get in the game. And I'm watching Avant
cook.
And at that time, I couldn't completely appreciate Avant's vocal.
Okay.
Because I was a church kid just running all over the place. Yeah. I couldn't appreciate the straight line, the simplicity.
Smooth. Oh, man, cooking. Just
it was just right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything about it was right. Nothing was missing.
He had joints, man.
Oh, yeah, joint. And it took me a minute to just learn, to get out of myself and understand what that was. It took me going into a session with a producer and, you know, I'm a singer. I'm singing anything. I'm singing, right?
Yeah.
And failing at the session and having to go back and listen to the song some more to get the song, the style of the song. The song was so simple and the song required so many just subtle nuances that
I could not pull it off. Yeah, like, that's a real talent to know when to.
Babyface is the master at it.
Babyface is the king of it.
To know when to simplify things
is like a real talent. Even as producers, I remember when, you know, being in producers, like, when you overdo it, it's like, well, where's the room for the actual artist? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Who are we, you're trying to impress yourself?
Or like,
yeah, exactly. So I think that's a good, that's something all artists should know. Like, there's a time where you got to know how to dial back.
Avant is, when I say a monster straight ahead vocal.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so that's Avant and Kiki. I love that.
I got to put a Jodeci joint in there.
Which one, though?
That's tough.
You mean you can run off the rest of your list with Jodeci records? I wouldn't.
But I got to pick one just to be able to like include other people. I might have to go. My Heart Belongs to You. That's my shit.
Special record.
Bop, bop, bop,
that shit is so crazy. Who does that?
Yeah.
JoJo does.
Facts.
JoJo does whatever he wants. And it's so crazy because he's in a group, is in a group and from a family with such a powerhouse, which KC is.
Yeah.
That a lot of times it doesn't get mentioned. The greatness of JoJo.
I
went on live one night and I'm talking about, I'm arguing with people. I'm talking about and I learned to not argue with people who don't do R&B. But I just had one of them nights.
I had
a JoJo night. I was literally going, losing my mind. I'm arguing on live this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
About JoJo's vocal. And I'm like, it's two guys. It's JoJo Haley and it's Sean Stockman. Who both are in groups with ultimate powerhouses.
Yeah.
That their voices are so strong and they're just so incredible that you don't realize that there's a master, right next to them.
Master.
That will cook any and everybody.
It's like Andre and Big Boy too in rap. It's like,
yes.
Y'all don't realize how fucking fire Big Boy
is. Yes.
Because Andre's an alien. You know what I mean?
Like, our Pimp C and Bun B.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you just.
And there's a reason why them niggas all group because they respect their talents and they know how good they are.
100%.
On Fiend and When Casey can take my money, he come in crazy, house in my car. Yeah. He just come in early, Peter, and
you
then
know what it is?
Then Jojo comes and says, I don't ever mind. Yeah, I said, why would he do that? Why would he break it down like that?
Exactly. It's the compliment of each other. You know what it was, too, when I was a kid? It was, again, it was like, and I love Boys to Men, but it was like this edginess of like, it's like, y'all are unique. Y'all are doing y'all own shit. Like, you know what I mean? I was always telling my people this. I think it's so weird that for some reason as a kid, I was always like, yeah, but... And I don't know if this is fully true or not, but I used to always be like, yeah, but Jodeci, they produce and write all their own stuff. I don't think Boyz II Men write. Like, who gives a fuck? I'm like 10, 11, arguing about the fact that Devontae's doing all his work. Like, it makes them that much better.
No, the crazy thing is Boyz II Men was writing all those
stuff. See, I didn't know that. In my mind, I was like, oh, y'all were like...
Yeah.
You know, like, like,
I mean,
the
they
were
writing every single record. But Jodeci didn't write every single record either.
Yeah, of course. But
you know
it felt
I mean?
Like.
There's a Cal West. Yeah. There's I'll Be Sure.
And I found out later.
You know
later.
What I mean? Like, there's a, there
I
were guys.
I found out later.
There
like,
were guys.
You know what I mean? There was other people.
I'm not taking from your guy.
I was about to say,
I know you will jump over
down.
The table about Devontae.
Yeah.
I already know. But let's keep it funky, though.
But when we get into Diary of a Mad Band.
Yeah, that album is flawless.
We're talking about Devontae Swing.
That's fair. I mean, So Timbaland don't got no hand in none of that?
I'm not saying
I mean,
I'm not saying
Missy Elliott don't got no hand.
This is what I'm saying. Here's what I gotta say. You have to think of it like this. Devontae's sound not in any way, shape, or form been replicated.
No. And it hasn't got no.
And it hasn't got no.
And it hasn't got
nobody.
He was giving Tupac choice.
Nobody can do it. Like, so,
you know. It's fair. It's fair.
Yeah.
It's fair. It's fair. It's fair.
Yeah.
It's all right. Okay. It's okay. All right. My heart belongs to you. Yes. Jesus Christ.
So the fourth one, this is probably the hardest one is to pick a song off Confessions. Because I got to get something. It's so many
my
songs.
My favorite song off Confessions ain't a single. So, yeah.
Yeah, but me, yeah. Me, I mean, to me, it's...
we're not here for me. Okay. We're not here for me.
To me, it would be between Superstar and Throwback. Like, those are, like, two of my favorite songs on Confession. But it's like, how do you pick one?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, every time I hear Throwback, it's like,
mine is that's what it's made for.
That's what it's made
for.
Have
you been to Vegas yet?
I haven't been to the show, but I'm going for sure. I got to go. I got to go, yeah.
Yeah.
Just watching this fucking Tiny Desk, I'm like,
nigga was cooking.
Yeah,
it make you realize there's levels. You know what I mean? Like, there's levels. Like,
he cook with a smile too.
Yeah,
he like, guys, I'm really good. Watch this. I'm really good, guys.
So, but you know what? I'm gonna go Throwback just because.
Okay, number five. Okay. Throwback. So Throwback is number four.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then five. Ooh, that's tough. Because then it gets into the reason I even mentioned the Ari thing. You know what I mean? Like, I really, like, why don't we fall in love?
Hold on,
I'll
take that back,
too.
Real quick before you, I'm sorry. Seduction is my favorite.
Seduction.
I love that's what
it's
made for.
Can You Handle It is crazy, too, though.
But Seduction is my one. Seduction is my one. That's my joint.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Throwback just because of, like, the hip-hop.
Yeah.
Just Blaze. Mm. So, I love the merger of that. I love the merger of, like, hip-hop, but with, like, the emotion and singing on it. Mm. To me, that's, like, my favorite shit, which then leads me to, like, damn. You Don't Know My Name, Why Don't We Fall in Love? I also think of like Lion, Tigers, and Bears, which to me is one of the I still go back to that song, like, yo, how did she do that? You know what I mean? Like, it's tough. It's impossible to pick five.
Yes, no, you got to do it right now.
I got to pick one of those three.
Yeah.
Shit. I want to say. Oh, that's tough. I think I'm going to go with You Don't Know My Name.
Okay.
Just because not only was it incredible, that shit went crazy, too. It was just like...
That took a listen somewhere else.
Yeah. But, yo, Lion, Tigers, and Bears, like, those songs, like... Damn, it's a lot of good songs out there.
All right. R&B Voltron. We're putting together...
The super
what you would
R&B
consider
singer.
The perfect R&B singer.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Who you taking the vocals from... the style from, the performance style from, and the passion. We're going to start with the vocal. Who you getting your vocal from for your
Who your coldest vocalist, man?
I'm going to have to go Usher. I'm gonna go Usher with that. Just because I feel like he can do everything with his vocal. Yeah.
So no, he's not missing anything.
Usher special.
Yeah, he's got all of it. Who are you getting your performance style from?
Are we mixing like
it don't matter,
men and women?
Because yes.
Performance style, man. Ooh, Chris is a monster.
Absolute monster.
But Beyonce is also like insane. Like she don't miss a note.
Yeah, yeah.
I might have to go Beyonce.
Okay, that's exciting. Who are you getting your style from? What you want your artist to look? Who you want your artist to look like?
Damn, that's a tough one. I feel like it was old before that time. I think there was a lot about how like it felt like seeing Jodeci felt like, damn, y'all niggas look new to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was young, so maybe I missed like people that ushered that styling before them. But I just remember at that time. Now I don't want
completely unique
niggas dressing like Jodeci now. You know what I mean? But yeah, like at the time, it felt like it was unique. So I think that that mindset of like. I also miss groups, man. Groups was fire. Mm-hmm. But
hey, man, you're very rich. You can go ahead and do a group now. Because you got to be rich to do a group.
Niggas don't want to do groups. They don't want to do it.
Like, jeez, man. Stop breaking up, guys. Yeah. Stop breaking up.
But
TGT.
I don't know. Oh, you know what? Actually, I'm gonna say Aaliyah.
Her style was crazy.
Her style was incredible.
Her style was crazy. Like, I remember being in school and girls showing up with like the Tommy Hilfiger and the showing their boxers and the
single-handedly made it sexy.
Yeah, covering
the eye for a girl to like be tomboy.
To be a tomboy.
Like I had never seen that.
Yeah, yeah. No, I went through my stage for sure where I saw girls and those were the sexy girls to me.
So to me, I'm gonna go with Aaliyah. So for style,
that's a good one.
Yeah, passion.
Passion.
Ooh, that's
who you gonna get the heart from.
Sheesh. Yeah,
who gonna kick over the speaker, man?
Yeah.
Or
hump it.
Might have to go with Casey.
Casey
Haley.
You know what? Yeah. Yeah. You the first person to say that too.
That nigga's passion.
That is crazy that he's the first person to mention Casey's passion.
His passion, like you can hear it in his voice.
Somebody gave me life.
Yo.
Life.
Like,
if you think you lonely now.
You think you lonely now.
That nigga was going in.
Toss it up.
Yeah. That nigga was going
ooh,
in.
Ooh, it's Casey, baby.
How you even come on like that?
What are you talking about? Hey, bro, relax, dog. Yeah.
That nigga came on like, this is who I am. Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Casey.
I love that nigga. I want to square up with you.
Because you know what? With passion also comes your flaws. Like your times where people don't agree with you. But that's what passion is.
It's Casey has a run pattern that is absolutely indescribable. It doesn't follow any technical run pattern, any rule of running.
Yeah.
It's Casey's.
It's his. And whoever's followed behind him, you say that's KC.
That's KC.
Yeah.
That's KC.
Wow.
That nigga, yeah. So
no, that's
that's my Voltron.
That's good job. Is it another category? No,
that's
it.
It's one more thing.
But we got one more thing for you, though.
Yeah.
What's up?
Before we let you out of here.
What's up?
So we got this segment. Mm-hmm. It's called I ain't saying no name. Well, you tell us a story, funny or fucked up, or funny and fucked up. The only rule is you can't say no name.
Okay.
So this is Eve's I ain't saying no name.
All right. Let me think. I think this story is funnier when you know the name. And it's not disrespectful to the person. But I do want to think, like, is there a story I'm missing? Yeah, I'm going to just go with this one because it's the first thing I thought of.
Okay.
It's like 2011.
He time stamping it.
Because you know what? It's important to know where we are in our life.
All right.
And it's like All-Star Weekend and me and Cole are like, it's like Two Kings dinner, LeBron and Jay used to do.
Oh yeah.
And then a couple
of names.
Nah, but they're not a part of the story. They're not a part of the story.
All right. You acting like Hitmaker.
Nah. And then there's two people come up to us like, yo, Denise. y'all want to go to a party?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all want to go to, we not going to say this name, party. And me and Cole's like, nah. Because, like, I feel like niggas going to be, like, doing coke off the table and all types of wild shit like we done seen in the movie.
Yeah.
I'm good. Like, I'm good on this. Like,
because y'all fresh in the game.
Yeah, I'm like, I done heard about this nigga. Like, I know it gets wild, but they're like, nah, just come through. And we went, and it was honestly the most, I was drunk already. So, you know, when you're drunk and you kind of like, I don't want nobody to know I'm drunk.
Yeah.
Especially in this establishment. And this person, it's not even really, I don't even want to call it a party. It's like a jam session. And this nigga goes up there and he just start playing the bass. His dancers are all dancing. So it's like basically like we're in a performance mm-hmm. venue in this person's house.
Yeah.
And I'm drunk and I'm like, I definitely do not belong here. Like, this, I'm the last. I'm looking around like, I'm not supposed to be here, but I'm going to enjoy this night. And this nigga goes up. He playing the bass. I mean, I guess at this point, it's like, it's not been so many niggas that could do this. Yeah. Puts the bass down. He starts dancing, drinking. He go back up, plays the drums. I'm like, this nigga's the truth. Goes back up, starts singing. I'm like, what am I? Why? How am I here?
How did
like,
I get here?
And you know, I see this other artist who will remain nameless. He like damn near like arguing with his girl. I'm thinking they about to like square up. I'm like, I'm sitting here again like somebody I grew up on. I'm like, I don't want to see this. Like, I'm just like, yo, why am I here? But that's one of the craziest memories I've ever had because, you know, it's an artist that way beyond my time is one of the greatest to ever do anything in music.
Yeah.
And to see that artist go up there on the bass, on the drums, on the guitar, start singing
yeah.
while everybody's just dancing. I'm like, I'm thinking I'm going to some house party in LA. And right. it's like, nah, this was, so the thought that I thought was, I was going to walk into like mounds of cocaine. I'm like, I'm not about that life, nigga, get me out of here. And just to know that it was like, it was a jam session. That's one of my favorite like memories that I've had.
That's dope.
Because
we also never like to see our heroes.
In the scary fall.
You don't want to see them never in bad space. So to get to see them
yeah, bro.
Do their thing.
Was crazy. Because yeah, in my mind, absolutely. I'm like, I don't want to see that.
Right.
I don't want to be in a place where I'm like, yo, like I don't want to see y'all like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't have nothing against people that enjoy themselves and do that. It's just like, I wasn't ready. I didn't have a good understanding of like anything at that point. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So in my mind, I'm like, yo, like, I'm good. Like, I'd rather keep them in my mind as like how I see them.
Yeah.
But they were still a superhero, so that's a good part. Yeah.
We want to get pressed by Ice Cube at some point.
Yeah.
I want
Ice Cube to ask me where I'm from.
I'm waiting for him to run up on me.
If I see Ice Cube, I might cross street like, damn, this nigga.
Like, tell me to break myself. You know what I'm saying? Break yourself, fool.
Yeah. Ice Cube. I'm saying, yes, legend. Sir.
Yes, sir.
Tell me to break myself.
Why you ain't tell me to break myself?
Break yourself, fool.
Let me out the car, though.
Let me out the car, though.
You want to know why you got out?
And cut.
Put some stuff in his eyes. He's not. You don't have to cry, Ice Cube. I want to cry. All right. Here we go. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the R&B Money Podcast, a very special R&B Money Podcast. Brother, we thank you. Appreciate you, man.
Thank y'all, man. This was really
stopping
dope.
By and,
I love what y'all do, man, for real.
Yeah, and getting into the intricacies, you know what I'm saying? And giving us a lot of organic information, you know what I'm saying? In terms of just believing in yourselves,
believing in what you have, believing
in your guys,
and
rolling with it, betting on it.
No, you know what I'm saying? That.
There's, like you said, Jay, there's something to be said that the top of the food chain is constructed that way.
Nah, for sure.
Man, y'all keep going, man. You know, you got our support.
Absolutely. Nah, for sure. I appreciate y'all, man.
Put us on a Revenge of the Dreamers 12 or something.
Yeah, man. Come on, I'm going to let y'all know about these next sessions. I know it's a Dreamville, you know what I'm saying?
Somewhere in the forest happening that y'all need performers at.
You need R&B music in there. Come on, man.
I got y'all, man.
We got a song out that's top five right now, man. Let's go number one. Talk to us.
Nah, for sure, man. I got nothing but love for y'all. I've appreciated that y'all have like always been genuine from day one. You know what I mean? So, and like you said, y'all build it together. I know how that feels. So, of course, this is ill. I love seeing the growth of everything y'all doing. Next Dreamville Sessions, I'm gonna call y'all love.
Hey.
We pulling up.
Dude. This has been the boss, Eve, right here on the R&B Money Podcast. I'm Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
We are the authority on all things R&B. Hey.
R&B Money.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/RMB Money.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.